जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा
श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की
जय।
I'll just chant the invocation prayers before we begin. Om Ajnan Timrandhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshun Minitamena Tasma Sri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Supadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांतो राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछा कल्पतरु भयस्य कृपा सिंधु भेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचा पंगुम लंघयते गिरि यत् कृपातम हम वंदे श्री गुरु देन तारु परमानंद माधव श्री चैतन्येश्वर हरे कृष्णा। सो लास्ट वीक वी स्टार्टेड श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत एंड अगेन वी वुड लाइक टू थैंक नित्याचरण प्रभु टू स्टार्ट दिस सेशंस। So I'm going to a little bit recap what we discussed last week, and then start the session today. So I should go up until 8:15, that will be okay, and then questions. Yeah. Okay. So last week, general eligibility we discussed, which is who is eligible to read or study Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we went through how in ISKCON we have these three principal books, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhagavad Gita, the general qualification or prerequisite to understand Bhagavad Gita is to have at least theoretical concept or theoretical acceptance that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada very clearly points out in the introduction that at least one should theoretically accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the study of Bhagavad Gita will be fruitful. If not that, then even the great scholars get baffled. And I have seen that while doing some research work on a master's level in philosophy. I was writing my thesis on the concept of yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. And I went through some 20 commentaries, and some of the very renowned scholars get baffled. They do not understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some very, very big names are there. So in the class, we don't want to cite any names, but some very great names. the people who are known as philosophers, India's renowned philosophers, their books have been published by Oxford University Press, but they fail to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they write commentaries. So Prabhupada time and time again banks on this point that such commentators are useless. And they are not doing benefit to themselves or to their audience. So theoretically one must accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and then Gita becomes a fruitful study. Now we go up further, higher. Come to Srimad Bhagavatam. For Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to have firm conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And therefore Srimad Bhagavatam starts, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you have already accepted, Om Namo, I affirm my obeisances, Bhagavate, to Bhagwan, to the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. Already accepted. So then Bhagavatam becomes fruitful study. And Sridhar Swami, one of the celebrated commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, also says that the key to understand Srimad Bhagavatam is this verse in the first canto, which is Krishnasya Bhagavan Swayam. Yeah? Iti chams kalapunsa Krishnasya Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mrananti Yoge Yoge. This is the key to understanding Bhagavatam. And the key to this verse is Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether you are a child or you are an adult, as long as you understand this much, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then you are eligible to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we come to the most exalted history, which is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dakritin Prabhu put it in his email, that how Chaitanya Charitamrita is an important literature. In fact, this is considered as postgraduate study in ISKCON. So normally devotees, they make sure they have studied Srimad Bhagavad Gita nicely, Bhagavatam nicely, then they will open up Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in our temples, in some of the major temples, there is a tradition to read Chaitanya Charitamrita on weekends.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sundays. So, as I was saying last week, that the last Chaitanya Charitamrita class I gave was in Radhadesh, in Belgium. And that a year ago, again, they also have same tradition, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita on Sunday. So at least we go through this book. It doesn't become another 20, 30 years down the line before we open Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's good. But what is the eligibility to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita? Because Prabhupada did say this is postgraduate study. So eligibility is to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is one of the most difficult incarnations to understand. And last week we went through the whole discussion how people in India, even in Vrindavan, those who come to Vrindavan, Indian people who come to Vrindavan, they're fine. When they go to Radha Shyam Sundar, they're fine when they go to Krishna Malam. But when they come to Gaurnathai, they say, who are they? Maharaj, who are they? They're gone. It's difficult. And even if they understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is divine, then they think, he's a devotee of Krishna. There was a very famous North Indian writer, a sadhu. He was favorable to ISKCON. And he wrote Chaitanya Charitavali. One side is his name. Very renowned sadhu. But despite writing, what he did, he actually translated Chaitanya Charitamrita into Hindi and called it Chaitanya Charitavali. And his very introduction, he failed to accept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He expressed his difficulty. He said, I know that Mahaprabhu had this Mahabhava Prakash Leela. I know that time to time Mahaprabhu to Ramanandaraya and other devotees revealed that he is Krishna himself. But he said, I still have difficulty in accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Lord Krishna. And he wrote Chaitanya Charitavali. So what is the use? This is difficulty. So the devotees in ISKCON are very, very fortunate. Because the time, the very day they enter ISKCON temple, Sri Sri Gaurataya. And they chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advait Gadadhar Shivasadi, Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Just by chanting this Mahamantra, they become purified and they become eligible to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now we move on to what we're going to discuss today. Last week we also explained the meaning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya means the living force, Charit means the character, and Amrit means immortal. So Prabhupada has given or at least 2 pages of explanation on Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of the living force in immortality. So some of the points we're going to discuss today. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is the pastime and philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Prabhupada takes it to another height, another level, to explain why Chaitanya Charitamrita is not just the name of the book. And then he goes on to explain Chaitanya, living force. Without him we can't survive. Without a living force we can't survive. So last week we discussed some of it. And let's start today's session. I was mentioning to Nithai Kirtanpu that we'll make this session kind of light discourses. So we are absorbing the philosophy, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. At the same time, we keep a kind of open heart and mind and soul to see what is being said and what we are studying, how we observe. Okay, again, I'm going through the introduction. So Prabhupada explains God and living entity. Basically the word immortal, amrit. Mrit means dead, in Sanskrit, in Hindi, mrit means dead. Amrit means which is living, immortal. Just before Christmas, I think all over Birmingham or all over UK, sometime back, I said a couple of weeks ago, they're advertising a movie, The War of Immortals. I haven't watched the movie, I won't watch the movie, I can promise you. But the thing is that the immortality attracts people. They are warriors, whatever they're doing, they're fighting. But the war of the immortals is the greatest fighter, the fighter who comes back alive. So he must be immortal. But we know that sooner or later that fighter will also die. Either he dies in battle, or he dies at home, he will die. So war of immortals, this is immortality. So living entities and Krishna, they both are immortal. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes this very nicely. Kshar and Akshar. These 2 words are described in Bhagavad Gita. He said, Ksharu Akshar Evacha. Kshar means those who perish. Akshar means imperishable. So living entities and Krishna, they both are Akshar. But living entities have accepted the nature of Kshar. So then we are called Kshar, perishable. So our bodies perish. But the soul within our bodies is imperishable. So Kshar and Akshar. Prabhupada gives an example, a famous verse he quotes. He doesn't quote it, but he points out that verse. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vididhati kaman. This is one of the most quoted verses in Prabhupada's writings. Nityo nityanam, in his lectures as well. Chetanas chetananam. This is from the Upanishad, Kathopanishad. So Nityo Nityanam, this describes the living entity and God Himself, the Supreme Lord. This is important for us as devotees to understand this distinction between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So both are Nityo, eternal. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ajo Nitya Shashvatayam Purano Nahanitya Hanyamane Sharire. Then somebody can say, then why do we die? If we are Nitya, if we are eternal, why do we die? Because we die. And the answer Krishna says, Ajo Nitya Shashvatayam Purana. the soul within the body is aja, is not born, nitya, eternal, shashvatu, again, lives forever, purana, is very, very ancient. Anahanyate hanyamane shariri. And when the body dies, the sharir dies, the soul does not die. So nitya, we are nityas. Then Krishna is also nitya. Nityo nityanam. We are nityanam. Amongst all the living entities are nitya, eternal. Krishna is also nitya. Chetanas chetananam. We are also conscious and Krishna is conscious. So we are conscious of our body. If somebody pinches me, if I have some bite from mosquitoes or anything, I can feel it. So I am conscious of my body, but Krishna is conscious of the entire universe, entire creation. Whatever happens, Krishna knows it. So what is happening within our psychophysical nature is also known to Krishna. We can't hide anything. So whatever is going on within our mind and heart is known to Krishna. If sitting here in the temple we are thinking to become better devotees, then Krishna knows that. If we are thinking that when is going to be 8:15 and I can go home, then that also is known to Krishna. So basically our desires are known to Krishna. Whether the desires are to come closer to Him or go away from Him, they all known to Krishna. As Prabhupada says very nicely, one of my favorite quotes, that if you want to become a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna will let you become devotee. Yeah? If you want to remember Krishna, Krishna will let you remember Him. If you want to forget Krishna, then Krishna will let you forget Him. He just facilitates our desires. So Krishna is also nitya, we are also nitya. Krishna is also conscious, chetan, we are also chetan. Then what is the difference? And this is where lies the difference between our philosophy and the Mayavad philosophy. This Mayavad is actually a very, very dangerous philosophy which kills the devotion. So time and time again Prabhupada always gives us enough to keep very conscious of ourselves and avoid this philosophy, influence of this philosophy. Then the difference is that eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. This ek, Krishna, this one nitya, this one singular amongst the plurals, He is maintaining all the plurals. He is maintaining them. This is the difference. And Prabhupada then goes on to explain, giving the analogy of seeing the sun from the ground covered by the clouds. This is how Mayavad philosophy actually misuses the same analogy we use it. They see something called ghatakas patakash. So ghatakas is the sky within a pot. Patakas, the sky, all within, outside the pot. So they think if you break the pot, the sky and the sky mix together, it is only one sky. And that is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. We also use the same kind of quotations from the scriptures, Aham Brahmasmi. But we also know that we are Brahman, but Krishna is Parabrahman. Param Brahma Param Dham Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Arjuna prays, my dear Lord, you are Parabrahman. So again difference, seeing that difference. Now analogy of Akash, this sky. Mayavadis think that when living entities and Brahman, Parabrahman, Krishna Himself, when they come to the material world, they become influenced by the Maya potency. That's why they're called Mayavadis. Their conviction is that anyone who comes to this world has to be under Maya, even God Himself. So their formula is God plus Maya is incarnation. Now you can imagine how dangerous this philosophy is. God plus Maya is incarnation. We worship the incarnation, we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how important it is to understand this Mayavadi philosophical thinking so that we don't misunderstand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna Himself. So even God becomes subjugated to Maya. And they give the example that how the sun in the sky is covered by the clouds in the rainy season. So similarly, when God comes to the material world as incarnation, He is also subjugated to Maya influence, Maya's influence. Yesterday in book distribution, somebody asked, I think it was Kathleen Mataji, that actually in Christianity, Jesus is crucified. So He dies. Then there is resurrection. Can you tell me what happens to Krishna? Does he die? Like Jesus dies. And she didn't know the answer. So devotees have to be able to tell, have to be able to explain. Yeah? But she will learn the answer. Krishna doesn't die. This is how we started the whole discussion. He is Nitya. We are also eternal. He is eternal. But He doesn't change His body. So Mayavadi is time and time again. They will do Ramkatha, they will do Krishna Katha, they will do all the incarnations they will speak about. But ultimately when it comes to the crunch is that does God die? Then they will say yes, Krishna left His body. Lord Ramchandra also, do you know how Lord Ramchandra went to Saket, his own abode? They all entered Sarayu. So there was kind of mass suicide. Massive suicide. Lord Ramchandra was leading and he was entering Sarayu. And everybody was just following him. But what the material eyes could not see, only the pure devotees can see, that the Lord displayed this pastime to go to His abode. Similarly, Lord Krishna, He displayed the pastime of being struck on His foot by this Bahalya, this hunter. And then this hunter came and started crying. The Lord said, don't worry, you go first. So Krishna delivered the hunter who hit him first, and then he left for his planet. And all the demigods came to pray to him. They said, please, if you are going back to your Vaikuntha, come through our planets. So Krishna accepted that. So through Swargaloka and other higher planetary systems, Krishna went back to Vaikuntha. This is difficult to understand for people, especially Mayavadis. So they think that God gets covered by Maya, just like the cloud. Now Prabhupada explains, and this is important for us to understand, that yes, God gets covered. You may think the sun is covered by cloud. But for who? For people who are on the ground. The sun is covered. But when you go higher, as you know the experience, when you're flying, you're flying, then you can see the clouds, but you can also see the sun. Many times you may have seen that. The airplane is flying, the pilot decides to get to a certain height above the clouds so that he can fly. Sometimes the pilot just goes above the cloud. Yeah? And you can see the cloud and you can see the sun. So the sun is covered for people on the ground. But the sun is not covered for people who are on a height. So the devotees are in a very, very privileged position that they are on a height. And that height is the understanding of Krishna as He is, the Supreme Lord, who never ever gets covered by Maya, never. So from the height, you can see the cloud, and sun is not covered. Sun is never covered. So this is the fallacy of the Mayavad philosophy. I'm just going to read a statement from Prabhupada. Please hear this carefully. Lord Chaitanya Krishna himself came to earth to simply teach Krishna Bhakti. Very nice example Prabhupada gives. And you have already heard this. The example of a teacher. Like we all have children. We teach our children. A, B, C. We teach them. Now somebody, an outsider, may think that this fellow doesn't know A, B, C. But that's not the fact. The father or a teacher is teaching the child the alphabet, basic alphabet. We all have done that. Either we were taught, or if you are a parent, you will teach, or you will be teaching at home. So Mahaprabhu is like that. He is the supreme teacher, Jagat Guru, and he is teaching the living entities how to become his devotee, by becoming his devotee. And this is very, very difficult for people to understand, that how God himself becomes his own devotee. What is the need? Why the Supreme Lord himself has to become his own devotee? Because being a devotee, being a servant, is not an exalted position, they think. But when Mahaprabhu saw this, that this is very exalted. And that's why Mahaprabhu is known as Chadma Avatar. He is covered incarnation. And this is what confused Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great renowned scholar of Vedanta. He said, how can Chaitanya be God, Supreme Lord Krishna? How can it be? Why not? Because in the scriptures, God is described as Triyuga, that he only appears in three yugas. So how can he appear in Kali Yuga? Because it doesn't appear in Kali Yuga, he is Triyuga. He can't be God. But when Mahaprabhu spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then same Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya prayed to Mahaprabhu in famous prayers. One of the prayers is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Please hear this wonderful prayer. This is from Sarvabhauma Shataka. The 100 prayers offered by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is so beautiful. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Sikshartham Ekah Purushah Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Udhariyas Tamaham Prapadye. Very beautiful prayer. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is teaching Vairagya Vidya. Mahaprabhu is in the form of a sannyasi. So he is teaching Vairagya Vidya. How? Nija Bhakti Yogam. By becoming his own devotee. By teaching his own devotional service. Sikshartham Eka Purusha Purana. So this Purana Purusha, this most ancient personality, he is teaching, is doing all that only to teach the conditioned souls. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, who has accepted the body, the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Kripam Udhriyas Tamaham Prapadye. I offer my obeisances to this ocean of mercy, ocean of mercy. And I take shelter of him. These very beautiful prayers offered by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But he got confused himself. How can Krishna Chaitanya be God? Because God is only Triyuga. And by the Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got delivered. Now here, Prabhupada said that if we wish to become fully Krishna conscious, we have to give up shackles of Maya. So Mahaprabhu comes to deliver the living entities in Kali Yuga from the shackles of Maya. In other yugas, there are some traces, there are some religious principles which are followed, Like in Satyuga, we were discussing last week, they do big, big sacrifices. In Treta Yuga, and Satyuga, they do Dhyan. Kriti Dhyayata Vishnu. Then in Treta Yuga, they do big, big sacrifices. God consciousness is very prevalent, very, very prominent in other yugas. In Satyuga, it's so easy to meditate. Very easy. But in Kali Yuga, it's difficult. Even for half an hour, it's difficult, isn't it? So these so-called yoga societies, they make good profit in teaching people, if you meditate for 6 months, you become God. All you have to do is pay £100. The fee is £100. So all these God-making companies, known as yoga societies, they make good profit. And they know it's difficult. And if people are so fickle-minded, so disturbed this age, you can't sit still, and it's hard. It's very hard. I think ISKCON devotees must be very privileged living entities because they can sit. It's very hard for people to sit down. Very hard. And therefore nowadays, the entire education is geared towards this fickleness of people. The educational system is changed so much. They have to devise all these means because people can't focus and they can't focus for a long time. So then they have to have breaks and so many other means. Education system. But this is conditioning, our conditioning. So Mahaprabhu came to deliver the living entities from shackles of Maya. What is shackle of Maya? Practically in Kali Yuga, the religious principles are negligent, become almost nil. In Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma or religious principle, or dharma religion personified, it takes the form of a bull. You know the story. And then Kali Yuga, in the first canto, is beating this bull. So Kali Yuga has already cut three of his legs. The bull is dharma. So these 3 legs, the 4 legs of religion, are satya, sauj, daya, tap. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercifulness, and austerity. So 3 of the legs of dharma of this bull are cut by Kali Yuga. Do you know which legs are cut? Which is remaining? Any idea? 3 are cut.
Austerity is cut.
Austerity cut.
Mercifulness.
And? Cleanliness. Yeah. 3 legs are cut. So 3 religious principles are actually almost nil. And you can see that actually. Especially in the winter. There's a saying, bad to work, work to bad. There's no place for bath. No time? Don't have a bath. Once in a week will do.
Before there was no bath in the house. When I came past, there's no bath in the house. Go to public bath once a week or twice a week.
It is true. When Prabhupada went to America, there were no baths. Once in a month will do really. It says in Kali Yuga, in the scripture, in Srimad Bhagavatam actually, that if somebody takes a bath in Kali Yuga, he'll be considered a pure person. In Kali Yuga, if you have taken a bath, you have done all the decoration. In Kali Yuga, bath is a decoration. But you can see that all the, these fragrance companies are flourishing.
Because
because people don't have bath. So the people go and spend, they rather go and spend hundreds of pounds buying these scents, what are they called? Fragrant, all this. So there are men's scents, there are women's scents, especially the women, they spend fortunes on buying these scents. So if you're going on the train or you're going on the plane, you know, just people are mad. So bath is considered more expensive than buying scents. Because bath you have to expend water. You use so much water. Scent. Done. Ready to go. I had one English teacher. He used to be happy if he had a bath once in a week, especially. And he used to really justify, he said, how can you have bath? You become ill, then I can't do my job. And he even went on to say that actually, even my face I don't wash completely. Mouth and eyes. That's it. Nothing else. The cleanliness, this is physical cleanliness, external. Internally, people are so dirty. Everybody knows this rap music, and then there is another form of music, especially rap. There is a star, rap star, and he made millions. And one of his songs is about killing his mother. So how degraded people have become. I haven't heard this song, but I heard in the workplace people talking about it. Oh, have you heard that song? Such and such is, you know, saying, you know, it's the song about killing his mother. How degraded people have become. So much. So this is cleanliness of the mind. Little bit on the cleanliness, because it's concerning devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the cleanliness of the body, mind. So mind, body cleanliness is that, in fact, Krishna talks about the austerity of the body, austerity of the mind, austerity of speech. So Devadus Guru Pragyam Pujanam Swarchamarjam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapuchyate. So this is the austerity of the body. And devotees do that. You will hear that. So Devaduj Guru Pragyam. Worshipping the Supreme Lord. Worshipping the Brahmanas. Worshipping the spiritual master. Pujanam. Shaucham Arjavam. And then keeping cleanliness. So this is the austerity of the body. You don't feel like shaving your head, or you don't feel like shaving your face. You have to do it, because this is clean. The devotees keep themselves clean, even if you don't like it. Even if it is freezing cold, even if it is minus temperature. Still the devotees, they keep to the principle. So this is a tap, austerity. And then, brahmacharyam ahimsacha, keeping celibacy. Ahimsa, non-violence. Shariram tapuchyate. So these are austerities of the body. And you can see in our ISKCON temples, in our ISKCON movement, the devotees, they take these austerities. And therefore they keep clean. First time when I saw devotees, some 22 years ago, I was totally awestruck. Yoganath Guru Subhadram Aayi Ki Jai, Shishganita Aayi Ki Jai. How effulgent and pure they looked, and how happy they looked. So my attraction to Krishna Consciousness Movement began with the books, but I was also attracted to see the devotees, they were happy and so clean. And first time when I saw Prabhupada's picture on Bhagavad Gita, I just could not believe. For days I was thinking, how can somebody be so pure? Just seeing Prabhupada's picture. And then I started believing that actually there are some people in the world who are pure. I would like to become pure. And then the journey begins. So the devotees, they keep clean. And when they go on the street, they are nicely chanting, smiling, dancing. But people are just amazed. We have seen in our Harinams, in the city center, some people just stand there. They don't want to book, they don't want to chant. They just stand there, watching the devotees with wonder. Just watching. They can't believe how these people are. So pure, so happy. So this all makes a difference. And the devotees, they take austerity. It is austerity to take 2 baths or 3 baths in a day. For Brahmanas, 3 baths. But at least Prabhupada says in a purport that 2 baths for Brahmanas must. So morning bath, evening bath. Because when you take bath, you become pure physically, bodily and mentally. It's very refreshing. And then you are ready to perform spiritual practices. Okay, the last point I want to mention before we take questions. How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so merciful. He came to deliver all the following conditioned soul. There are various examples he delivered. Jagain Madhai, Sarvam Bhattacharya, so many others. But Mahaprabhu in his private life was so strict. He was a Brahmana. He didn't have much money. He was young. He had a young wife, 16-year-old, old mother, 70 years old. And yet, in order to deliver the foreign conditioned souls, he took sannyas. Only 5 people knew about his sannyas. And this was very heartbreaking news. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So he renounced the household life, which is considered in Srimad Bhagavatam as a dark well, full of snakes. And we all live in it, happily. So, grihastha life is a dark well full of snakes, and we live happily. Because we want to prove the point that it is not dark well, it is not unhappy state, we are happy. So, dark well, Mahaprabhu renounced the household life, he became a sannyasi. And as a sannyasi, he was very, very strict. So he chastised Haridas Thakur simply because he went to beg rice from Shikhi Mahiti, one of his female devotee. He simply went to beg rice for Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu chastised him so much. He discarded him from his company, and Haridas Thakur, later on, junior Haridas, Chota Haridas, he later on come to suicide. Very scary. But this is how strict Mahaprabhu was, like a thunderbolt. But for grihasthas, Mahaprabhu was very, very merciful, very compassionate. Once Srimad Mahaprabhu was told that one of his grihastha devotee's wife was pregnant, Mahaprabhu became very pleased. And he said that boy should be given such and such name. So two kinds of behavior, Mahaprabhu. Very compassionate on his grihastha devotees, and very strict on his brahmachari and sannyasi devotees. Most of the followers of Srimad Mahaprabhu were grihasthas, but they were completely dedicated with their mind, body, soul to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would go to Jagannath Puri once in a year to see the Lord, and then come back, including Nityananda Prabhu. They will have to come back to Bengal and preach the mission of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu was like that. He did not like hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to become a renunciate, but underneath you are engaging in all these sinful activities. And this is very prevalent, I have to say, especially nowadays. The so-called sannyasis sometimes are seen not following very strictly. Sannyasi is going in politics, becoming members of parliament, okay. But more than that, if they are not following other principles, especially their association with women, then this is condemned. And the example is given that if you are fasting, like you fast on Ekadasi, so you are fasting and you think, oh, I'm going to take a bath in the river or I'm going to take a bath, but underneath the bath you drink the water. And to everyone else you declare, I'm fasting. I fast without water on Ekadashi. So this is called hypocrisy. Fasting, but drinking water underneath. So this is called Falgu Vairagya. Falgu means false renunciation. So prapanchiktaya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshu parityago vairagyam falgu katya. They think this world is prapanchik, this is all false. Brahma satyam jagan mithya. This world is false. But, so they renounce, so-called they renounce all the activities. And Prabhupada gives example that these Mayavadis, they keep their hands like this. Okay? Somebody gives them something, oh, I don't take it. But devotees put their hands like this. Somebody gives them something, they say, give in my hand and I've got my bag as well. Why? Because they know everything is Krishna's. Everything belongs to Krishna. So your money is Krishna's and you're giving it, give it, because we know how to use it for Krishna's service. Krishna's money in Krishna's service. Lakshmi in Narayan's service. So Mayavadis, they falsely renounce this world. Therefore they are called mumukshu. They want liberation and they have this false renunciation. Have you gone to Gaya about Nityananda Prabhu? You went to Gaya. You have seen Falgu River. Falgu River, there's no water on the surface. But if you dig a little bit, there's a current of water going. At least it used to be like that. So on the surface, renunciation. Big beard or whatever, you know, red or bhagwa clothes, big danda, tilak, tripund. But underneath, so many material desires. And see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not appreciate that, he did not allow that. But again, for grihastha devotees, you are very compassionate, who were dedicated to his mission. Okay, finally, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn this is Prabhupada's statement. How Lord Chaitanya taught to break shackles of Maya and become immortal. So now, Supreme Lord, living entities, they both are individuals, they both have their thoughts, their desires. But Krishna is Achyuta. You know this word Achyuta. Krishna's name is Achyuta. Achyuta Madhava. Achyuta. Senior Ubhyor Madhe Ratham Isthapha Me Achyuta. Arjuna says in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, my dear Lord, please take my chariot in the midst of both armies. But he is addressing Krishna as Achyuta, infallible. So living entities, again, as we started our discussion, are Kshar, but Krishna is Akshar or Achyuta, infallible. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Supreme Lord who is Achyuta, although in the garb or in the form of his own devotee. We'll finish here. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments?
Prabhu, you mentioned briefly on impersonalism. So I've got a question about how, like the Mayavads, they say want to become God or become one with God, become God. So my question is, like, what about other, like say Western religions like Islam and Judaism? They believe that God is formless. But they do have the conception that they are like servants or devotees of God. So is that like belief that God is formless, different type of like is that called impersonalism at all?
Yeah,
it's different yeah. from, but it's different from Mayavadi philosophy, isn't it?
In a sense, they are also covered with Mayavad. I've seen some of the followers of the religions. In fact, all the religions in the world are impersonal. They're affected, influenced by impersonalism. Some are very emphatic, some are covered. Like Christianity, it's essentially impersonalism. But on the surface, they said Jesus is the Son, and only Son of God. The God can't have any more sons. Not allowed. Somebody was saying on the street yesterday, only Son, God's only Son is Jesus. So even God has to do, you know, family planning based on the conceptions of Mayavadis. These impersonalists. Essentially, they are impersonalists. Islam also impersonalist. They are very strict impersonalists. So much so that some of them won't allow their own pictures to be put up. You have been to Middle East, Netajanpur. I think Middle East is a little bit open because they have the pictures of their rulers, sheikhs, on the walls. But in other countries, very strict. They won't even have their own pictures put up or taken. Very strict. So impersonalism, it goes up to that extent. God can't have a form, and somehow or other you have a body, but you can't have that body, that form. So impersonalist. Now how are they different from Mayavadis? Not different really. Not different. Because essentially they think that had God had a form, and he would be covered with Maya, material energy. And therefore, he does not have a form. So it implies the same thing. Mayavadis take from the point that God does not have a form. Even if he takes a form, that form is covered with Maya. Therefore, they are called Mayavadis. They impose or superimpose the influence of Maya over God. Just like I was saying, in formula it will be the God plus Maya is incarnation. A very dangerous theory. So the devotees, they keep very, very cautious, that this theory does not influence. Jabadag Maharaj, His Holiness, has written a book, Mayavad Shat Dushani, 100 Faults of Mayavad. I haven't read the book, but it's a very good reference if you want to go deeper and see 100 faults of Mayavad theory. So devotees, they keep very, very cautious. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Mayavadi Krishna Prathi, these Mayavadis are the offenders of Krishna. And you know the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he became so angry on Advaita Acharya that he started beating him. How dare you say that I don't have hands? How dare you say that I don't have eyes? How dare you say that I don't have a face? How dare you say that I don't have a body? He started beating him. So Western religion or Eastern religion, if they are covered with Maya, if they are impersonalist, they are more or less covered with Maya. But again, there are the two groups, these Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Brahmavadis, they believe that God is essentially impersonal. And they don't go too much into Maya. In fact, they don't try to superimpose Maya in God. Basically, they think that God can't take incarnation. God cannot incarnate. I had a maths professor, many years back, and he used to teach us differential and integral calculus. So he was teaching us differential calculus, some form of maths. Somehow he deduced the formula. He used to go in tangent sometimes, talk about God. While doing maths, you know, deductions. And once he was teaching us a lesson, he said, therefore, I conclude that Lord Vishnu cannot incarnate. And excuse me. I forget what he was teaching us in calculus, in differential calculus. But he said, this is the reason I believe that Lord Vishnu cannot incarnate. So Mayavadi, the Brahmavadis, they believe that God is impersonal essentially and he doesn't incarnate. Mayavadis believe that God can incarnate, but that incarnation is superimposed or covered with Maya. So they are more dangerous. Brahmavadis, like Sukhdev Goswami, he was a Brahmavadi in the beginning, but he became a devotee. So there is a hope for Brahmavadis, like four Kumaras, Sukhdev Goswami, but there is no hope for Mayavadis, unless they become fully surrendered and take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, it does. But I mean, say, I mean, the Western religion, they don't have that concept of merging God, like they don't have the concept of merging into the Pramajyoti or becoming God. At least that way they're not. Because that's what the Mayavads believe as well. So in that sense, they're slightly different, right? Or they're still more or less the same. Those two groups.
That's right, yeah. They don't want to merge into Brahman. They don't have that concept. But essentially, they want to do it, usually. If they don't accept the material body, they only talk about heaven, you see. When you leave your body, or you blow up your body, you go to heaven. So there's a concept of heaven, but that's what it goes as far as that much, you know. They don't go more than that. Similarly, in Christianity, God lives in heaven. So there's only a concept of heaven and hell. Beyond that, they don't go. But what they are actually essentially saying, that God is impersonal. The bodily concept we have, or the bodily designations we have here, they will be left here. You will get a body in heaven and enjoy. But beyond that, they don't go really. The concept of heaven, going to heaven, making, it's like pious activities. The Western religions only encourage people to go to heaven. And that heaven is achieved by karma yogis, by people who are doing performing pious activities. But they can't go beyond that. So liberation can't be achieved by following that kind of path. But we are very fortunate to be in ISKCON and to be hearing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his philosophy. Because Mahaprabhu's philosophy, last week we discussed, is the supreme philosophy. Srila Prabhupada calls it super philosophy. So this is super philosophy. I'm going to actually time to time bring elements, I'll bring some points from Prabhupada's book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is super philosophy. There's nothing beyond it. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Madmidam Tatru Dharu Napara. The essence of Mahaprabhu's philosophy is four. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajestana, Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, is our worshipable deity. First. Taddham Vrindavanam, his dham, his abode is as worshipable as Krishna himself. 2. 3, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. So we accept Bhagavatam as the ultimate evidence, ultimate proof. So Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, Prema Pumartho Mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to achieve love of Godhead. As enunciated, propounded, taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the verdict of Mahaprabhu, and there's nothing beyond it. So this is the essence of Mahaprabhu's teachings. So we accept it. We worship Krishna. We accept Srimad Bhagavatam. And we understand that the ultimate goal of our life is to get love of Krishna. Okay, any other comments or questions?
Yeah. I was thinking about what you were saying about special devotees are, that the Lord himself wants to be a devotee.
Yeah.
And it's just a realization of how precious devotees are, because if the Lord himself has that desire to be a devotee, then it's just how precious devotees are. But I was just wondering also, because we know that Krishna's Atmaram, he's self-sufficient, he doesn't have any needs or, but however, when he feels that need to be a devotee, or he feels unfulfilled in the sense that he wants to experience what we feel as devotees, because that is that devotional ecstasy that we feel is actually higher than God himself. It makes God subservient to the extent, like in Dhanadharastakam, we see that Leela, how he subservient to his devotees. So how do we understand Krishna being not lacking, but he feels unfulfilled, yet he's Atmaram?
This is on the transcendental platform. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his teachings can be understood once we have understood the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the only transcendental platform that Mahaprabhu feels, or Krishna himself felt, these three things lacking, or three kind of lackings in himself. Sri Radhaya Pranamayama Kidrisho. Again, this is a deeper subject matter which will come later on. But this is essence. He felt that what kind of love Srimati Radharani feels for Krishna, for him. And there are the two other lackings. So then Mahaprabhu, so Krishna himself wanted to experience that love of Srimati Radharani for him. And he becomes his own devotee. So there are three internal reasons of Mahaprabhu's appearance, which we will cover later on. And three external reasons of Mahaprabhu's appearance, such as propagate the holy name of the Lord, etc. So we will be discussing that. But yes, taking your point, how special it is to be a devotee or to be amongst devotees. Very special. Yesterday Nidhakirtan Prabhu was saying, when I asked him his realization of being in Vrindavan in the month of Kartik, at the bank of Radhakund, at the foothill of Giriraj Govardhan. So he was saying that, yes, devotee association, Bhakta Sangha, is very special to be amongst devotees, to be with the devotees. One of the statements I really love from the writings of Gaur Govind Maharaj, his own Gaur Govind Maharaj, is that bhakti, devotional service, bhakti is born in the association of devotees. Wonderful statement. If you want to become a devotee, the bhakti will take place. Bhakti will be born in your heart when you are with the devotees. So in the association of devotees, bhakti is born. Very special. And this incarnation of Mahaprabhu as a devotee displays that. Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself become his devotee. Krishna Varnam to Sakrishnam is in Srimad Bhagavatam. But then again, Panch Tattvadankam Krishnam Bhakti Rupa Swarupakam. So he is Bhakti Rupa. Mahaprabhu is Bhakti Rupa. He is Krishna, but he has taken the form of his own devotee, Bhakti Rupa. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is the narration of this Bhakti Rupa Krishna. Very special to be a devotee of Krishna.
Who can make a compromise?